Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 87. This is the return part deux. Kane and I took a break last week. We, of course, you know, personal things came up, and unfortunately, we are not paid to do this, not yet. But we had to take a little time off, so again. But we are back and chugging along, and hopefully we're going to be keeping going for the rest of the year. And round up the year with, of course, we got KaiserCon still coming up. So, but Kane
is still on?
Yes, sir. That is still on. Yes, we are still ready to go for KaiserCon. And, of course, guys, here is Kane, my partner in crime. How you doing today, man?
How you doing, sir?
I'm here. You know, it's been a while, it seems like.
Yeah, it's been, couple weeks. I think you took a week off, and then I took a vacation day. And, so we're back. I'm happy. Got to recharge the batteries.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel ready to go.
Well, it's been busy. I mean, we're busy on the sister channel, your channel, for Midnight Movies. So I mean, what we got going on there?
We recently did The Thing last night with my friend Brian from SoCal. A lot of fun. Feed the dog. If you guys don't know what that line means, check it out at Midnight Movies. We had a lot of fun doing The Thing. Feed the dog is kind of one of the big common themes. If you listen to it, you'll understand why. But it's been fun. We've been churning them out. We're doing the Halloween stuff now. Got two more episodes of the Halloween specials going on this month. And
so, but what do we got? What came out this month for the horror fest that you guys are doing?
We've done. So what have we done? We've done Aliens. We've done Halloween from 2017. And we did The Thing this past Saturday from 1982. And I think we have two more left, which would be The Frighteners and House of a Thousand Corpses.
Very cool, yeah. We're doing Frighteners this weekend, and then, of course,
On Halloween night, we'll be doing House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yep. So, guys, if you are interested in doing seeing some watch-alongs and seeing what Kane does, we don't have a video on that, but it is audio, so make sure you guys go to our... We no longer have a website, so it's streamerlinks.com/heroesasylum.com, and there you'll find links to all of our pages that we have, our social media, as well as the pages to get to Midnight Movie. And if you guys are looking for it, don't just look up Midnight Movie on your podcast. I forgot the title actually is Heroes Asylum Midnight Movie, because there is another Midnight Movie out there. Their Midnight Movie Club or something. I forget what they're called.
It's a Midnight Movie Club.
Yeah, but for us, it's Heroes Asylum Midnight Movie. So make sure you guys check that out.
Yeah, and it's on Spotify too as well.
It's Spotify. It's on a couple. It's not on the big ones yet. We're working on getting that.
The easiest one is probably like Stitcher and Spotify. I usually listen to a couple of them on the way home, especially lately. Really, really good. I forgot how good some of that stuff is.
So it has been a few weeks. So there's a couple of things I want to bring up. Just kind of see if you had seen it and what your opinion is that we've both kind of missed.
I don't like it.
Don't like
whatever
it.
Whatever it is,
I don't like not it. That one. No, we're not going to do that one just yet. Too soon. Too soon for that one.
I'm just going to catch you up. I don't like it. Whatever you're going to say, I just don't like it.
What if you think about the Guillermo del Toro Jabba trilogy that they're kind of kicking around right now?
Why?
I saw Screen Rant talking about this.
I don't know. I'm not going to believe that.
Me either. I don't know why you would throw Guillermo into doing a Jabba movie.
Why would he even bother?
It just, to me, when I read that, I was like, and they were talking that they wanted it to be Godfather-esque, and I was like, you could do it with better people. You could almost do it with what was it,
the guy you're talking about, a guy from Solo?
No, well, you could do Solo too.
Well, no, the dude who was one of the gangsters in Solo, was it Paul Bettany? Is playing like a sort of a gangster type.
Well, he'd
character?
Already, yeah, he's already killed off. Oh, no, okay. I was thinking of in The Last Jedi. What's his face? The negotiator.
Ooh,
I'm telling you, I'm drawing a complete blank on the actor's name. I feel so bad, and it's close to Guillermo del Toro, but I think that would be kind of cool, more of his backside and more about things that went on in Canto Bight. If they're going to do a Godfather style thing.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? Because we didn't get enough of Canto Bight. Yeah, there is a novel out for Canto Bight. I mean, you hardcore sweaties, you probably picked it up. I'm reading now a lot more books, and that's like bottom of my list to pick up. But I don't know. To me, Jabba is Jabba. He did his job. He's just a blob sitting there. I don't know what kind of it would be.
I don't want to see the origin of Jabba.
Yeah.
Why? No, it's just like, who cares? Like, honestly, out of all the Star Wars characters you could create movies for or series for, he's the one that I would think of the least.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why when I read this, I was like, what are they talking about? What are they doing?
Like, what do you want to do? You want to neuter him even more? I mean, you neutered him when you brought him in for the special editions, when you, you know, CGI'd him into the original one, which was terrible.
Because yes and no. I think I've always been in opinion the one scene where he and Solo meet, if you're going to have to do that, you can't have the human because you are, you know, how does he go from the human to the slug? So, yes, you're going to have to do that, and you're going to have to do the introduction, and they had to do the overdubbing. So that was fine.
I don't know, just
that
him moving scene. Around, just...
Well, he's not as, you know, we all get slow in our older age. So as he got older,
it just looked weird. I don't know. Like him, like just like moving.
I think because of us, we saw the original one. It wasn't, you know, it was out there in the tape circuits when we were growing up, to where the you know, the cut scenes from the original Star Wars, we all found those in the tape circuits. I mean, there's a wrestling tape circuit, there's a sci-fi tape circuit, and we saw that. I've seen that before they even showed it in the movie, you know, in the re-editing or remastered or whatever the hell they wanted to call it. So I'd already seen it. So to me, it was a little weird because of Han going up. That was like the one part of the whole scene. I was like,
oh yeah,
that was kind of bad.
Yeah,
but you know, I think a movie of him would be bad. There's so many better characters you can create and delve more into than having to just delve into another character. We've already got a story for Jabba. I don't need more. Like what they did for Mandalorian to me, and I'm pretty sure I think you're on the same boat with this. It was a new character. It was a familiar character, but it was a new character inside that suit and inside that world. And that's what's more interesting to me than rehashing the same old, same old.
Unknown characters you haven't seen yet, flush them out. I mean, that's what we all want. Yep. We don't want the Star Wars universe to be small. We want it to be big. And the more you keep trying to make it small again by bringing characters we've already seen, you're just shrinking it again. Like, you know, I'm going to do it like Solo. Although I liked it, wasn't necessary. Mandalorian, I'm like, wow, okay, so I'm seeing what's going on after Jedi. That's fascinating to me. Yeah. Even the baby Yoda thing I could deal with too. At first I was like, oh really? But then after a while I was like, okay, I get it.
Well, it's not Yoda. It's just because it's
the child. I
yeah,
know.
We just, because we don't know the species name, so we can't call it baby, you know, green thing or whatever, you know, whatever the name of his species is.
They don't even have a name for that species yet.
No. Then that's another nice little mystery. And of course, you know, that's the hint to come because the blacksmith, the armorer from season one was, you know, you have to go find his people. Well, now the big question that we're all asking us really hardcore sweaties, are we going to find a world of Yoda and Yaddles?
I don't know.
Are we not? I mean, to me, and that's one of those big mysteries, because even George said, he's like, no, I don't want to have, we don't need an origin. He is what he is. And yes, there's others out there, but we don't need to go delving into that. And I think that's what this group is going to do. They're going to tease. They're not going to go into that area. They're just going to just keep hovering around and like, I think we've discovered this world. Let's go zip over there. And then they run into some trouble and then they don't make it to the world. I think there's gonna be a lot of teasing, but never a payoff to get to the world. But I think they're going to, as the story goes along, they're going to fill in enough backstory to the child that we're all going to be satisfied.
Yeah, even in the trailers, they mentioned, you know, when the blacksmith, is it the blacksmith or the armor?
I can't remember what they call her. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, where she's like narrating, she's like, well, you got to take him back to, you know, to his people.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, you know, Sasha Banks, they say a group of magicians called Jedi. So is he going to take him back to the Jedi? Because, you know, I guess at this point the Jedi are not extinct. I mean, Luke is still walking around.
Well,
new
we've
Jedi
always known.
Trained.
Yeah, they're always, we've always known that they never went extinct. That was never a canon thing. I mean, Jedis have always been around. Even when you look at the books, you look at the comic books, the new run of comic books, Vader and the Emperor, no Jedi around. That's a given. So it's not like that was the retweak from the original movie. I think, you know, that I'm okay with. You know, they did not wipe everybody out during the purge.
Yeah, there's some out there just hiding.
You got Kanan from Rebels. You've got Ezra. We know Jedis are there. They're underground. Even I think doesn't the video game world fall under canon as well? So I mean, Jedi.
The last one, Fallen Order, apparently is that way. As
so
well.
I mean, again, we all know the Jedi know, or the Empire knows, there are pockets of Jedis out there. There are younglings that lost their masters that are now lost, but they're still partially connected. So it's out there. It's like the death of the Jedi was greatly exaggerated.
Yeah. According to them, they wiped the Jedi out, but, you know, they're hiding here and there.
Yeah.
You know.
So a lot of news, a lot of talk has been going on about crossovers for the Marvel and DC, like that whole rumbling started again. And you and I have talked about this offline about, you know, the possibilities, but there has been another awesome crossover. Did you read Joe and Anthony Russo, Zack Snyder, and more are now signing a letter to Congress to try to
which
bail
is
out?
A smart. Yeah. Yeah. That is like one of the smartest things in the world to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talk about what's going on with the whole COVID situation, and believe me, it sucks. It sucks. But, you know, one of the things you don't want dying is the movie theater experience. And right now they need the help.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that to die. You don't want it to be like, well, you know, they're just going to go away. Like recently, the Regal Cinemas that I usually go to, they closed. They're done.
Now, my understanding that they didn't close. They closed their shops down. They're not out of business yet. They just minimized a lot of things. And they're
going, I don't know. This one, they closed it down.
Well, no, they closed the shops down, but the business – Regal is still around, and what, from my understanding, one of the last things I read was that they were basically going to go into like a hibernation state for like 6 months and then see what happens. And then I think they had enough money for like 6 months of just running the business but not having theaters open completely.
They gotta like, the best bet is to go to Congress and say, hey, look, you know, this has been around since the turn of time. You know, movie theaters is part of our everyday culture.
About 100 years. You know, not the turn of time. About 100 years. Well, you got to think here.
Did I say the turn of time?
Yeah, you did.
Damn,
yeah.
Well, I was like, 100 years. Okay. You know what I meant to say.
But yeah, no, I agree with you. No, I think they should. And it's nice. It's not saying that they're looking for bailouts for the studios.
No.
That's the one
no.
thing I want to make sure everybody understands, that this is not a government bailout for the studios to get money. You know, they've already got their thing. They've already got money coming in. They've got DVD sales. They've got streaming sales. The movie theaters, or not the theaters, but the industry itself can still, you know, survive. It's the theaters themselves. And like, and they're talking about some of the biggest change, AMC. And again, AMC is another one. I think they had about 6 to 8 months worth of, you know, like, hey, we can function this way for about 6 to 8 months, hoping that within 6 months, a couple of big movies start coming out and then we get our, you know, the ball rolling. But yeah, it wasn't just the Russos. It wasn't just Zack Snyder. It was also J.J. Abrams, Taika Waititi, Catherine Hardwick. So a lot of folks, you know, were coming out to say, hey, let's help them out. You know, this is an area that, you know, we can get them money, get them to start at least staying open. And I think they were talking about, you know, employees, like, it's impacting like 150,000 employees.
A lot,
you know, in nationwide. So I think it's a cool idea. And again, what great way to have, you know, DC and Marvel join up,
come together, and some of their premium directors. Yeah, that's one of the best things.
Show the support.
Yeah, it's needed. Like I said, they're not only helping the industry; they're helping themselves too. I mean, because, you know, these guys are not, they want jobs down the road, and, you know, as good as streaming platforms can be, you know, you're going to get that money from the movie theaters. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it when COVID is over, because, you know, people are still going to be hesitant. But I hope they can figure a way, because you desperately need that movie experience. And especially now, where everybody's just basically cooped up, they're going insane. You know, there's only so much TV you can watch. You know, eventually everybody's going to want to go out. And what a better way to have the movie theaters reopen, reinvigorize everything. That'd be great, though.
Yeah, you know, yeah, well, definitely. Yeah. Well, speak for yourself. I mean, there's a lot of TV. I mean, you and I have been talking about something that you were kind of poo-pooing when it first
rolled
out.
Hey, before you go forward, here, I'm going to go a little bit closer. Before we go forward, I just want to say that Mike was correct and I was wrong. I was really wrong.
All I was telling you is I think you're going to like it more than you think you are. And that's all I was saying. I think Hellstrom's a very interesting show. I mean, I think I'm at 6th or 7th episode. It gets definitely a lot more interesting. It almost has a mid-season lull. You know how most like shows have like two little stories within it, especially when they're the big long 22, you know, episode series. Usually you don't get that in small mini series of, you know, the 10 or the 12 or 13 or whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Micro series or whatever we're calling them now. But this one, yeah, usually you get just one story in those smaller ones. So this one, you it's still the same story, but it reaches a peak around number 5. And then it starts up another part of the story, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm actually halfway through episode 2 right now, and I just like this. Like, it's so dark. It's so unlike Marvel. And I think the thing that you have said is like, you know, if a, you know, Justice League Dark can be done somewhere in this type of vein, you know, maybe they should look at this as a template.
Yeah, I think this and an Umbrella Academy mixture, I think, would be perfect for DC.
That'd be perfect.
DC.
Yeah, I was just thinking
they are doing. I mean, it is on the books. They are doing Justice League Dark, and if anybody's familiar with it, you're getting Zatanna, you're getting John Constantine, you're getting Detective Chimp. I believe they're bringing in Swamp Thing. Hopefully, and if they're smart, they'll bring over that Swamp Thing from the other series and revitalize that. But I think that mixture of those two would be perfect.
And apparently, Swamp Thing is getting high ratings right now on CW.
That's great. Yeah, I haven't.
Which is like one of the biggest things that we
hope for. Have you gotten a chance to watch
for.
It yet, or no? Or you just checking out the?
I've just checked out the ones in the CW. They're kind of like, okay, you know, they edited a little bit.
Well, that's why I was. That's kind of what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah,
how much
they
did
left
they
a couple
edit?
Things out here and there, but it's still, you know,
it's still there. Okay. That was my big concern.
They changed a couple things, not too much, but still the same feel. I mean, it's still the gritty and dark and all that stuff.
Well, you can't change that much, but I was just more concerned about what they edited out is all.
It's nothing that was really needed, you know, and it's actually barely noticeable the way they edited it. So like I said, I watched a couple episodes just to refamiliarize myself, even though it's been out for, God, what, a year?
Last year.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a noticeable difference. I'm just glad it's at a bigger platform now to actually
get
be noticed.
Get more
and
eyes
maybe,
on it. Get more people talking about it. That can bring more attention.
And maybe, who knows, revival. Maybe it's CW or somewhere else. I mean, that's the hope. But at least they're going to get a chance to see it now for the people that actually missed it and couldn't find it on DC Universe, which is a, you know, totally different thing now. I guess the last time we spoke, it's turned to basically a comic site now.
Yeah, which
nothing
I
else,
was hoping
which
they were
was going to happen.
So. Yeah, I was hoping that they would continue that route because it is I've always talked about it and touted how great I loved how much I love the DC Universe in its back catalog. And it's still there. Price is still, I think, $7.99, which is not bad. I mean, when you think, I think Marvel is $9.99 for their back catalog. And honestly, I've checked theirs out, and I'm not really that impressed with the Marvel one, especially for the price range, because you can get the same stuff off of Comicsology. And I'm like, why would
probably
I?
Get, and get more.
Yeah, and you pay less. I think Comicsology is like $5.95 or something like that. So if anybody's out there like really wants to delve in and kind of what I did about 2 years ago when DC Universe came out, I just delved into their archive and just got to relearn some characters and learn some that I had never really looked at before.
That's a cool thing about it. You could just type in a character and it'll give you all the list of all their runs. And
the runs
I think they
and,
go in
and not only just
year
the list.
Order.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You can go year order, but not only just the list of the runs themselves. You can actually read, you can read the original Batman. You can read the original Superman. You can read the original runs on a lot of those. And it's great to see that and be able to just, like I said, just pick a character and, hey, I want to learn more about this guy and this girl. And do it. And they've got like a lot of cool highlight ones that they do.
Yeah, they've highlighted a couple here and there that I never really noticed, especially on The Flash. Like, that was the one I was reading for a while because, you know, the basic story of The Flash, but like there's the other one, you know, Wally West stories that I started to read. I was like, wow, okay, this is why people love Wally West so much.
I think that's what I did. I actually read the Two Flash series because I think that they're all on there, and I was able to like see the Wally West, Barry Allen mix, which is pretty
cool. It's good stuff. And like I said, it's totally worth it. I'm glad it's not going away. It's needed.
Yeah, that was my big concern.
But you were they're just separating it, which we, like I said, we knew it was going to happen. Their HBO Max is getting all the good TV stuff, and DC Universe is going to get rebranded just to, basically as a comic site. So
And that works.
And it is worth the $7.99.
Yeah, guys. It is. Yeah.
I do have it, and I've started to actually. I had to re-edit it because I had canceled it, and then I just got it again because there's some runs that I can't find at my local comic book shop that I go there and I can find.
So. Yeah, like I said, I mean, if nobody's gonna pick up the original first Superman, just you can't do it, but you can there. You can at least read it digitally, and then at least you can say I read it. I was able to experience it .
Yeah, you won't own it, but you read it. Yeah, because not too many people own it. So
yeah, what do you think, man? I know you're a Hoffenator, Hoffenite. What do you guys call yourselves?
Hoffenite.
I don't know what you guys call yourselves. You're David.
The Canaanites.
The Hasselhoff.
The Hoffheads.
Yeah, the Hoff will be voicing Superman in Dark Knight's Death Metal animated shorts. What do you think? I mean,
I don't know what to say. I just want to hear it.
It's like two worlds colliding for you, man.
It's like this. It's like on one hand you have an apple pie, and the other hand you have a coconut pie. And you just put them together. Well, you're gonna get, you know, Hoff as Superman. You're getting awesomeness.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm actually fascinated to hear it now. I mean, is he playing the long-haired, yes, grungy Superman?
In the article I read, that was the image that was up there, because that's the only Superman. I don't know what they're doing with these shorts, though. That's the big trick, is what are these – are they doing – I don't know if they're not going to do a full movie, but maybe they do these shorts or so, which I think will be kind of cool, because out of all the DC stuff that they do, the animated, those shorts are just always
the best. I saw a short – I think it's Friday night on Sergeant Rock.
Yes, that one's been
really cool. Really cool. I was like, and he was he's hunting some kind of supernatural force down. He has like a Frankenstein dude with him and a vampire.
I mentioned that one to you before too.
I didn't see it. I was like, wow, this is probably the best one out of all of them.
Yeah, and I think if they're gonna do the metal series, I think the shorts would be the best way of doing it.
At least right now, yeah, to familiarize yourself, and then maybe down the road you get an animated movie. I don't know. I mean, it's a little wacky, but...
Well, maybe not do the anime movie. Do the shorts. I think metal will be best served in shorts. Now, I know that sounds very strange. Not hot pants shorts, but short
pants, Superman and hot pants.
And short movies. I think because of the scope of that run and the little pockets of the universes that they deal with, I think if they... do that, you know, do the Superman, I wish they would have just gotten Hoff to play the Batman car.
I was just going to say
really.
I was just, you know what I was thinking while you were doing, I was thinking like, well, is Anthony Daniels still alive? Could he voice like the Batmobile car?
Yeah, the Batmobile. Yeah. I mean, I think they do that, because that's probably one of the things that you and I have talked that we've kind of lost interest. Well, you did. I never had interest. But I think because it was so huge and so much going on that I think maybe spoonfuls of it will be better if that's the route they're going. Unless they're doing shorts and then they're going to do a massive movie. I would prefer shorts for everything for that, but.
Just do shorts. I mean, they've been successful with those shorts. I mean, I recently watched the Death in the Family movie. I didn't get the DVD because I guess you could choose your own endings or something. I got like streaming one.
Yeah.
And let me say, I was not really impressed.
It was
the redo of Under the Red Hood, and you're just getting like a couple additional scenes.
I thought it was basically like it was a prequel or a prelude.
Now the cool thing about it, the one I saw online, is it had all those shorts at the end, because when I downloaded, or I have it here on a certain site, the runtime is an hour and 30 minutes, right? So you get the first half of it is basically the death in the family and all that. Then after that, they put all the shorts at the end. So you got the Phantom Stranger, You got Sergeant Rock.
They did all of their shorts?
They did all the shorts, yeah.
I might have
That's where I saw Sergeant Rock at. That's where I saw Death at. Death is in there,
Death,
too.
Death's a great one.
Another good short. Wow, that was tragic.
Then I will have to pick up the DVD on that, then.
It's, yeah, that's I mean, like I said, I don't know if they're doing it on the DVD. That's the thing. I have it on my streaming service.
I would think so.
So I don't know, but that the coolest thing was that after the movie was over, I was like, you know, I really didn't like it. Yeah. And I'm thinking, because it was so much time left, okay, this is where we're going to go to that other alternate ending, because I didn't see Red Robin or anything like that on my version.
Right.
And after that, what they showed was all those shorts, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm in. Because the shorts were probably the best part of it. But check that out.
So I'm gonna poke at the bear.
Don't do it.
I am. I have to.
Don't.
I have to. So during the week that we were off, and we missed this, it came and went, but a little news came from HBO Max about the up-and-coming Green Lantern series.
Oh, no.
And it was showing it will explore the history of the different heroes who joined the Corps, with executive producer Greg Berlanti teaming up with showrunner Seth Graham Smith and telling stories of the heroes of Alan Scott, Kilowog, Jessica Cruz, Simon Baez, and Guy Gardner. That's right, folks. And many more. In a brand new live action series. Me personally, I think that's great, because to me, Green Lantern isn't one guy. It's the Green Lantern Corps. It's the group of them. It's the cop. I think probably one of my, well, he's only got two movies. So the favorite one of the Green Lantern DC animated one is the Corps one, where you get the backstory to all the different characters. Kane, on the other hand, has another opinion.
Yeah, get rid of Guy Gardner and put Kyle Reiner in there.
Well, again, it says many more in the brand new. So
I don't even want
mean...
Guy in there.
Well, I know you don't, but
I just don't want him.
I know.
I just detest him.
I know, and I know why. And it's funny.
And it's fine. You can elaborate. I mean, I think as a kid, he sucks. But some people love him.
I feel you and Guy Gardner are very similar. Your personalities are very similar.
Oh boy.
Very, very.
Now we're going, going there. Okay. Keep going. You started it.
Hey, I like you both. I'm a big fan of Guy Gardner, a big fan of you. So you gotta enjoy that part. But I'm looking forward to it. I think they do need to show diversity. We understand we're in a new world, brand new world, and diversity is king right now. So I understand Kilowog. I understand Guy. I understand Jessica Cruz. I understand Simon. Simon's gay, I believe, in the comics.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have your girl, Jessica Cruz, which I think she's great. I love Jessica.
Jessica's awesome.
Simon I'm not too familiar with, but the few times there's been a couple of team-ups I've seen with him, and I think him and Jessica, I've liked him there. Kilowog, I love anything.
Kilowog,
give me as much
man.
Kilowog.
You can't do no strong with
Kilowog. I'm sure, again, there's so many out there. If you really delve into the original Green Lantern Corps run in the 70s and 80s, they followed. I can't remember all of them, but the squirrel, you know, obviously we're going to have Mogo. You got to have an episode with Mogo. The only one I find interesting that they threw in here is Alan Scott.
That's an odd one.
He's an honorary Green Lantern. Yes, he is the original Green Lantern, but he gets his powers from a different source. So
the minute somebody attacks him with a broomstick, it's over.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
so I'm just saying, break it off. And
somebody beats what? Up. Somebody beats up. Somebody beats up Hal Jordan with a banana. He's down. I mean, yellow.
Man.
So
or a big poo cloud too.
I mean, you just talk about the Green Lantern weaknesses are very lame on both sides.
Let's be honest, they are really lame. They are absolutely lame. But I don't know what's worse, their weaknesses being lame or Superman being afraid of a rock lame.
Well, rock and magic. Those are his two big ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Again, my favorite one, it's not First Flight. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie for the Green Lantern one.
Couple of them.
Well, yeah, there's one that it's just where Hal is introducing a new girl, a new lantern.
Yeah. Is Nathan still voicing?
Yeah, Nathan was voicing at the time, I believe. And I thought that was great because you saw the first Lantern story. You saw the story of Mogo, which I thought was amazing. That one was probably
the Mogo
my favorite.
Story was awesome.
Because you just have to watch them, guys. I don't want to spoil anything, but watch them. And you see the story of Sinestro. I think if they did that in a way that, hey, where they're telling a story of something going on But as they go through, they have to go back to the history of the different Green Lantern characters. And I think that'll be, that's what'll be great.
And then it's going to open up all the different color prisms of the lanterns, because that's...
Eventually, yeah, we'll get there.
Let's talk about all that. I know, that's where you want it to go.
We don't know it's going to yet.
That's where it should go.
Yeah, not really.
I mean, I'm just saying that's where it should go. I mean, about all the Lantern stories that you've read, I mean, the biggest one they've had, you know, is Darkest Night.
It is, but again, you don't want to, you just let that go. Let that, that's like years down the road. Let's get introduced to these characters. Let's delve into the characters.
And knowing my luck, when they do Guy Gardner, he's going to be like the standout of the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
I just have that feeling. I don't know why. They'll cast some guy like Jim Caviezel, and he'll be like, yeah, he's winning another Emmy for playing Guy Gardner this year. I'm like, oh, Lord.
And he's going to bring back the bowl cut, guys, so just keep looking out for that one.
Oh, yeah. Keep it out. Oh, actually, if they bring the bowl cut back.
But, yeah, there's no word yet if this is going to be set in the continuity of Zack Snyder's Justice League universe, although we do know there's a Green Lantern there. We don't know if it's that one. Or if it will exist separately.
Probably separate.
So it would be kind of cool if maybe that the one Green Lantern that you are going to show is maybe one that is in there.
Probably in the make him Alan Scott?
No, don't make him Alan Scott. I'm going to punch you. I swear to God.
I'm just saying, if you want to go and you can revitalize Alan Scott. No, hey, you want to bring in Guy, you got to change Alan.
No, why? Guy's a Green Lantern. Guy, the only reason Hal got it before Guy was because Jordan was closer. That's really all it was. Guy was actually the ring's first choice, but Hal was closer. When you want to look at the Green Lantern history, that is how it is. So I know. You hate to hear that one too.
Wow, that's really lame. it's like when you're in a classroom in high school, got to be close to the door so you leave during recess.
Yep. Now talking of does one exist in the other world? What is your take on this whole Flash, Superman, Wonder Woman for the Batman being in the Reeves verse? The first one you and I talked about, I think, was the Superman costume. And we just thought, oh, it's just a guy playing a joke for the cast. They did that on, if you remember the first X-Men movie, they had a guy run in in a Spider-Man costume, joking around with him. Yeah, and I was like, oh, maybe that's what they're doing here, is they're screwing around with the cast and the crew. Because if you look at it's a Reeves Superman costume. It's not a new one. It's old school. So I thought about it, but then the very next day they get another one pops out that the Flash... There's a Flash logo that shows up on, I don't know if it's a piece of paper or on a wall or something. It's just a tiny little lightning. And then another one came out, I think, yesterday about Wonder Woman being around. So what
coincidence.
Is coincidence?
I think it's coincidence, or it could be like a Halloween, seeing kids walking in Halloween costumes. Okay. I don't think they're part of that world.
Okay. That's where I'm going, that they're just having fun. They're probably getting close to wrapping up. Because they finished overseas, now they're here in Chicago. And of course, yes, it is Halloween. They're wrapping up, and I'm pretty sure everybody.
It's just mere coincidence.
I was just kind of curious. I know.
I mean, trust me, because I would be the one who'd be like, "Oh my God, they're in this world too. They're connected. There's another like
you I, would I been, you would if you me, were on
you
board
would have gotten a long soliloquy from me in a text message at 4 o'clock in the morning, like saying all this. So.
You would if I think. You were more behind this movie. I think those little nuggets would have like driven you crazy if you were all frothing at the mouth.
Yeah, but because I'm still.
You're still. I don't have the music queued up. So dun dun dun. Kane, what do you think about that?
I'll save you. I'm still not into it. There you go. still not in. I'm still. And I've seen the trailer almost 105 times now. So. Yeah, still nothing. Actually, somebody posted on my personal Facebook page, a picture of a Daredevil from Netflix and the Batman, and they were like, coincidence? I'm like, somebody else figured it out too.
Yep.
So
another question for you, kind of a crossing over of things. What is your thought coming up to January? DC Universe is going to be they killed off the Gen 5, and for those of you that aren't familiar with what Gen 5 was in the DC comic world, around this time, actually, they were going to jump five generations ahead in the DC world to where we weren't. Every character we know is going to be, you know, somebody's great great grandfather. No, dead. I mean, five generations. We're talking. We're talking. Yeah, we're talking at least.
I was thinking something else.
No, no, we're talking five generations was the plan originally, and that's Dan Didio, who left DC. That was one of his biggest complaints that he was fighting against. He's like, no, you're going to just wipe everything out to jump and do this, change every character. And you're not, it's not going to be Clark as Superman anymore. It's going to be his descendant, or it's not, you know, it's not going to be any of these people anymore. And so they killed that off because there was a big, massive backlash. And then, of course, with COVID, the comic book, you know, prints and everything coming out, they wouldn't have been printing them as quickly and building that story up in enough time. But it looks as though DC has decided to do something a little different, and they're calling it Future State, which is going to launch in January. It's a one-shot miniseries, and it's going to cover all DC books. So they're going to stop printing for, was it a month or 2 months?
I read two.
Is it 2 months? Yeah, I think I read two as well. So they're going to stop printing current books for 2 months and have this one-time thing. Now, the nice thing is it's not going that far ahead. It's not going five generations. I think it's only going maybe 20 years, 30 years in the future. I don't have a time frame.
Doesn't say a time frame.
We do know Jonathan Kent is Superman. We do know Batman is dead. Wonder Woman is no longer Diana, but it's a different person doing
somebody else, yeah. So Batman, we don't know who it is.
So what do you think? I mean, to me, I've been sort of down on the books lately. I got to be honest, because I feel like the story in the writings have just been just kind of like lackluster.
Too convoluted to me. I'm still reading the death metal stuff.
Yeah.
And where I like metal, death metal is just like it's gone to a place where like, okay, you know what? Even for me, that's a little ridiculous. For me. And that's saying something, because I'm all about the ridiculousness. This has gotten to a point like, okay, you know, can we stop now?
Right. Yeah.
I can we just wrap it up? Like, cause it's a little, I like the idea, but it's just like, you know, I hope it goes, I just hope they land the landing, please.
Hopefully. Just hopefully. Well, we've seen what happens when they let these things go run too long. I mean, we saw what happened to Doomsday Clock. I mean,
Doomsday Clock was just so drawn out. Yeah. By the time I got to issue 12, I didn't even want to read it.
Yeah.
Until you told me to read it. And then I was like, oh, God, where was this? The first 11 issues. Mm-hmm. Instead of being drawn out with the marionette and the mute and like the guy who was Rorschach but wasn't Rorschach. And
I kind of enjoyed the marionette in that series. That was kind of an interesting, that was more of an in-depth series. And something else I recently read, I don't know if, but they're counting Watchmen on HBO as canon now. By the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I read that. I'm trying to remember where I saw that, and that DC is counting that run as canon, which I mean, if you've ever watched it, it's really good. So I'd be okay with, I'm pretty cool with that one.
That's fine.
But if you guys do check out online, you can find them, but there are covers out there to show you, you know, what's going to happen. Like for Aquaman, it's going to be his daughter, I believe, and
covers are really cool. Yeah. I like the lettering and the type. I mean, it looks cool. So they're going to differentiate on that.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely.
It's piquing my interest.
Yeah, and that's what I like. I was like, this is piquing my interest to maybe try to get me back in to see what route they go. You know, and it's kind of cool. Like they're doing a little twist. Like instead of detective, it's dark detective. And
dark detective,
Instead of the Batman, it's the what is they call it? The next Batman.
The next Batman. That's cool. I mean, they're trying. I mean, this is basically almost a hybrid version of the next gen stuff they were thinking.
It is. This is great. Give us a taste. Let us see what you guys want to do and what your idea is, and then we can go further with that. The only one I thought that was kind of strange was the Supergirl one.
It was a strange choice.
The outfit was very strange to me. It didn't even have the S on the logo.
Yeah, you have to have the S, man. I mean, what was it years ago? I think it was Kevin Smith. He was talking to some producer. He was because he was going to do one of the versions of The Death of Superman Lives. And
well, he wrote.
He wrote a treatment or his own script. And the producer he was talking to was like, hey, man, you know, I don't want him flying. I don't want the S in his chest. Or like, what?
He doesn't want a cape.
Doesn't want a cape. So when I saw that, I was like, I mean, you kind of need that S in the chest. I mean, that's kind of like his deal. You just you take that away. I remember there was an episode of Supergirl. I think it was like a couple seasons ago. And when Kara went, she got evil, Red Kryptonite, go figure. She had this weird suit. Instead of like the S being here, was like in the corner.
Oh, that was like, for the multiverse.
Okay, so you know that suit I'm talking about. Yeah.
That was I think it was for the I can't remember the run. It was for when they went to the dark multiverse. The one I think my favorite cover, guys, I definitely want is the Swamp Thing one, where it's the Statue of Liberty, but with Swamp. Cool. It's just that looked just amazing.
I'll have to get a couple copies and hang them on a wall somewhere.
So you are going to have Superman. He's just been exiled out of Earth. Something happened, and so he basically exiled himself. And what's cool is he's not wearing his suit. He's wearing the Kingdom Come suit. When I saw that, I was like, oh.
It's kind of like an updated version of the Kingdom Come suit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the S of the Kingdom Come. It's the shield, but it's something just a little different.
Oh, that's the one thing I was going to tell you. I'm almost finished with my Death Mantle issue 4, and Superboy Prime comes back, and he's in his new suit.
Yeah.
Looks really cool. Really cool. Almost like robotic, but it's kind of like organic.
It looked like an organic armor kind of.
It looked cool though. I was like, oh, they're bringing him back. I go, that's one of the things. I'll find some nuggets here and there. Like, oh, okay, they're bringing Superboy Prime back. Ooh, it's going to happen here. So. Not everything is negative. I can find a couple decent nuggets here and there.
So, speaking of movies, did you finally get a chance to watch Fat Man, the trailer?
Yep.
What'd you think?
I hate the Batman movie trailer. It's a total 180 watching the Fat Man trailer.
Fat Man. If nobody knows what we're talking about, go check our Facebook
page. Freaking amazing.
But it's Mel Gibson playing Santa, basically. But at first I thought it was a fan-made trailer.
That's what it looked like to me as well. Like, I was like, this is not real.
I was like, is he so bored? Like, has COVID gotten so bored? He's out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Montana, and just running around with a couple of friends shooting like a spoofy movie, like a trailer movie, and when I saw more and more of it, I was like, holy crap, this is real. And it's basically the
perfect guy to play him too. Got old Mel Gibson.
Yeah, old Mel Gibson playing Santa Claus. He's up in the he's up north. He's in Alaska, it looks like, or upper it looks like, I think he said he's in Alaska. And basically the government knows about him and they want him to do something, do a special mission. I guess he doesn't want to do it, but then it in turn another second story that's going on is this little kid gets a coal in this rich, overspoiled kid gets a piece of coal for Christmas, and he puts a hit out on Santa. I would love to have been in the pitch meeting for this movie.
Because apparently they're just taking everything.
I was like, you're going to do what? You want to do a hit on Santa? Hell yes. Sign him up now. And you got who? Mel Gibson.
Got him at scale too. Trailer's great.
Oh yeah, it's great. Great trailer.
It's almost like I don't like comparing it to John Wick, but it's almost like Santa Claus John Wick.
It really is. I mean, it's kind of where they went with that, and I loved it. I just when I saw it, I had to post it on our page.
A hitman going after Santa. I mean, and this oh my god! I'm like, give me this movie now. I need this movie now. That might be my new favorite holiday movie. It might replace Rare Exports. It looks like it's a Rare Exports. If you guys have never seen it, is a holiday movie about the history or the story of Santa Claus, but there's a lot of other things going on, and you find out Santa Claus might not be the guy you think he is. And but this one is basically Santa's up front, he's got a shotgun, he's got the deer, he's got Donner. He's like, hey, this is Donner, and all these guys are here drinking a cigarette. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, what do you say? Yeah, Donner, don't get too close to Donner.
The Donner, yeah.
If it was Donner, he'd rip your fingers off or
something like that. Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah, I was thoroughly impressed with it. And there's also another Christmas movie. We haven't gotten trailers for it yet. Just a small little poster. It's coming to Disney Plus. The Star Wars Holiday Special. But Lego style.
Well, then is Favreau part of this?
Don't know. I don't know if he delves into the
because didn't he say he was going to make a holiday special?
I don't know. I bet you he's too tied up with Mandalorian.
Okay, I'm just wondering if he's a part of this.
To be honest, yeah, it's
funny that they say that, and all of a sudden there's a Lego edition of the Star Wars edition. I'm like, okay.
Well, I had read about that, and I think I reported about it like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, about them talking about doing it. But I don't think Favreau's not the end all be all on Star Wars. So I mean,
I know, but I'm just saying he did mention something like that. So yeah. I'm just wondering if it came from him or somebody close.
Who knows? He was probably in one of the meetings. I'm sure he like helped out a little bit and said, "Hey, what do you think? You know, yeah, I think this idea is cool." And I'm sure he was part of the brain trust. Thank you. Yeah, of getting putting ideas and throwing stuff together and saying, "Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?" Like I said, I think his hands are just really filled up with Mandalorian right now because apparently there's
maybe somebody heard him like, "Hey, good idea. Let me do it."
Yeah. Well, it's the Legos. I mean, I've you and I are both fans of the Legos movies. Everything they've done for DC, the Batman Lego movie was just hysterical.
Oh yeah, I own that. On hard copy somewhere around here. I think I got it for Christmas.
Now, another talk of another DC movie coming out. And again, I guess this is another crossing the streams. News that Michael B. Jordan to produce Static Shock movie for DC Comics. And I wonder if he's gonna
star in it too. I mean, he won't be Static. Static is gonna be a little bit younger, but I wonder if he's gonna be in it somehow.
I mean, it all depends on how they do it. That's the big question.
I mean, you don't got a guy just to be the producer unless, I mean, he's still a talented actor. I just wonder if he's going to put himself in the film.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes with producers, just sometimes actors just want to produce, so they're not.
I don't know. I think he'd be kind of cool in this world.
But again, it's what story do they do? That's the big trick. You've got the animated cartoon that a lot of people are more familiar with than the actual Milestone comic books. Now, the Milestone comic books, whole nother area. Depending on what route they take, that can open up a big, massive world. If they're just wanting to do Static Shock as a one-off, one-time thing, then they could probably follow the comic book route. Or not the comic book, but the animated series. But if they want to open this up, and you and I saw during DC, the DC fandom, them talking about they're revitalizing the Milestone series.
What a way to do it.
But no, they've already started. They started back.
No, I'm saying as far as like live action, this is the way to do it. Right. I mean, you get a big producer. Well, not a big producer. Obviously, he's just going to be like the guy with money behind it and all that. Unless he has passion about Static. I don't know.
He's in that age. That's the one thing. He's in that age that grew up with Static. And that's the one thing. But like I was saying, Milestone, not only are they revitalizing, but they ran reprints. They're reprinting Milestone right now from the original series from the 90s. Then in January or February, they're starting the series over. I don't know if they're starting over or going to start just releasing new ones. I think most likely if they're releasing the old now, they're probably just going to pick it up and continue the new story.
That would seem.
So if they're doing that and they're putting the money and their time into doing that to Milestone now, what a better way to drop Static Shock, who is a massive face for that world. But then actually show the rest of the world. Bring in Hardwire or
Bring in Icon. Yeah,
bring in Icon. I mean, bring in that whole group. But the trick is doing the story right. Because in the book, how they all got their powers was that there was a chemical that was released during a gang riot. So it's very tricky on how to do it.
Well, that's what they did in Black Lightning. The series in CW, similar. They had like this centralized area where they unleashed this, I forgot, it was a gas or something, and people were infected.
Same thing, that's exactly where they got it from.
Yeah.
They got that from Static, and that's basically what happened. So then all of these people started coming out. Hardwire is more of your Iron Man, Batman-esque type character. Static got it. The rest of the gangs got it. I can't remember all the gangs' names and stuff. But the only other one that didn't get it was Icon. Icon is an alien. He is a black Superman. If you need a black Superman, that is him. End all be all. And if they go that route, Idris Elba all day long. He's the size. Yeah. He can play that character. And his face, he's got this aged. Now, I don't want to, when I say age, I don't want to say old, but he's got like a world weary look in his eyes. Like he's seen everything. I know everything. I've seen, you know, I've experienced everything. Been and that's what Icon is. But if they go Static Shock, I know you posted the young kid from Stranger Things.
Yeah. That's the first thing I thought of.
First one you thought of.
I mean, there's probably others, but that's like the first, you know, vision I got in my head. I was like, well, he's almost done with Stranger Things. I think season 4 is the last. And he's almost at that age where you want Static to be somewhat young.
You need
and relatable. Yeah. And plus people know who he is.
Exactly.
So that's the basis I was going off of.
Yeah, I was excited when I saw this because this is something you and I have talked about. You know, we always talk about, you know, the world right now. They are throwing a spotlight and focusing on, you know, strong women characters and strong black characters. And you and I have always been we've always been an advocate that these characters have always been there. There just hasn't been a spotlight on them to shine and say, look at them. Look what they're doing. No, they've always just been there. They've been released and they do their thing. And if you watch it, you know what they're doing. And to me, that was the one thing I did. I think years ago or a few years back, they were talking. I think it was even Michael B. Jordan. He's like, oh, I want to be the black Superman. I'm like, no, don't be the black Superman. Take these black characters and put them into the forefront. And I know he didn't hear me, but he listened to his heart. And he's like, I can bring that a strong black character up. And it's not ripping off and it's not playing second fiddle to some other white character. He's his own character, and if he doesn't, I hope other black producers and directors get behind him and start delving into that world, because that world is amazing.
You know who could really help him out is Tyler Perry. He's got a huge studio somewhere in Atlanta. He's got some money. I mean, hell, why didn't he just back, you know, Michael B as a producer?
Well, he's got.
You could do the whole duo thing. You get rid of those Madea movies. Yeah, they made money, but hey. You got this, you know.
He's got DC behind him. He doesn't need it. It's DC properties. They're gonna do it because there is a drive right now to make again those characters relevant again. Finally,
why not? They've been dormant long enough.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we get tired of the same old.
Yeah, so. I think other than Icon's the only one, and Static are the only two that continued. I mean, Static got his own show, but that was like late 90s. I believe.
Yes. It was after Batman Beyond. Yeah, it was on the same time.
Same time because I think Batman Beyond and Justice League, and they all sort of crossed paths. And then Icon's been here and there. He's popped up every once in a while. If you ever see a mass, you know, all the DC characters are together to battle some big villain, you'll see Icon all the way in the back. But he's there, you know.
He's there. Yeah, he's gonna say, "Hey, Icon."
Yeah, he's there to raise his hand. But yeah, I think it's fine. It's finally time to get these characters, give them the spotlight, show not just the characters and not just getting Michael B. Jordan out there to do this, but those artists and those writers. They took a chance. Everybody talks about how Image took the chance back in the 90s. They broke away from the big two. You know, they all walked out of DC's or out of Marvel's, you know, studio. Then they walked straight across to DC, and DC's like, oh, you guys are signing up? No, we're coming here to tell you the same thing we just told them. We're here. We're going to make a mark. And Image did that. Milestone did the same thing, but they did it with ethnic characters. And not just black, but they also had Hispanic characters as well. And to me, that's Milestone is the ethnic version of Image. Image just, I think, got over more because of the loud creators they had. I mean, really, when you look
at
the creators,
very loud,
they are characters in themselves. So, and I think with Milestone, I wish it would have landed. I loved reading them. That was when they came out. I picked up everything I could find for Milestone. And tried to keep up with them. I paid a pretty hefty price for it. I found all of them, every run on Milestone Digital, and I was able to get that.
Oh, wow.
But again, guys, just check it out if anybody is interested to see what has been in the, you know, in the ethnic world in the comic books. Milestone does it. I always go back to Icon because I was a Superman fan to begin with, and that's kind of what his representation was. But it was Icon, and I wish I could remember her name. His not sidekick. She was a human, and she's a teenager, and she was a pregnant teenager, but still going around doing her it's Bullet, I want to say.
I forgot. That's one I have to look up.
But they worked together. She wasn't his Robin into the Batman. No, they were equals. She's the one that drug him out to become Icon. You know, she's like, you've been here. You've seen the fighting. You know what's going on. You know how to stop this. Do something about it. And he's like, I'm an alien. I don't belong here. She's like, but you chose to be a black person when you came here, and you carry our burden as well. And I just, it was really
great
powerful.
Great line. Yeah.
So, but yeah, guys, definitely check it out. I can't wait. More news to come from that. I'm looking forward to it.
And like, yeah, I can't wait in the months to come when she gets,
you can
stuff.
Hear how passionate I am about that one.
It's going to be fun. I mean, just hearing the passion in your voice makes me want to see this now. Like hopefully they start making this movie next year, and we'll definitely check out those runs.
Yeah, we definitely will. But that's all the little things I could find over the last couple of weeks. You got anything that
I found know? Something that kind of bugged me.
Oh, a bug one. Hold on, I can't wait.
They were showing set photos from Batwoman season 2.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't have a problem with the girl playing her now. She's fine, whatever. I have an issue when you put something iconic as the Batmobile in there and say it's the Batmobile, but it's not the Batmobile.
Oh, it is?
And they had a picture of her on set, and supposedly where Ruby Rose got her bike to cycle as Batwoman, this, I forgot her name, Ryan Page or whatever her name is, she's getting a Batmobile. But it's not a Batmobile. It's kind of like a Supra or something. Just slap a sticker on there with the Bat logo. I'm like,
okay, so they did throw a Bat logo on it.
Yeah, I'm like, but it's barely noticeable. It's like a sticker. Just threw it on there.
Well,
I'm
you
like,
don't want it to be noticeable. You don't want it to scream.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like big. I just like it just looked cheesy.
I
didn't look right.
But do you remember the first Batmobile? I mean,
I think that's what they were going for. If you look at the set photos, they have that same color palette, like orange or something. It just,
well, no, I'm talking the original Batmobile from the comic books was a Studebaker.
Oh,
all right,
the Studebaker.
It was a car. It wasn't. He had like a little chemistry set in his trunk. I mean, that's really all it was.
Yeah,
and then you look back into like the 70s, it was just a fast car with a freaky little bat face on it. I mean,
I want to buy that one.
Yeah,
I've been looking for that.
Yeah, I think you can find it. Acme, I think, might carry it in the Hot Wheels section. Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've gotten overkill on the Batmobile, I think. The whole Tumblr shit and all that. I don't know.
I like the Tumblr. I like the Tumblr. I like the Affleck Mobile. I don't like the new one they have, which is basically a car. But
yeah, we from the 90s on, or 89 and on, we've gotten weird Batmobiles. But most of the time, Batmobile's just been a black car. It hasn't been anything spectacular. It's just been a Batmobile. 60s probably gave it a little bit more flair than what we're used to, but really over time, you look at what the Batmobile was, wasn't anything special.
Oh, the 89 one is special.
Well, again, like I said, 89 on, we've been treated to weird and special mobiles, but when you look at the history of the Batmobile, it's never been anything big. All right?
Oh,
and I think that's just kind of what they're going for. And I've always found it weird that this guy who's supposed to be hiding from everybody is driving in the most obnoxiously over the top vehicle that anybody. Oh, I know. Hey, Batman's down the street right there. Are you sure?
Hey, that's him right there.
Yeah. You want a low keyed stealth car. I mean, you might as well just drive around in a 1976 Pinto. That's what Batman should be driving.
Dodge Gremlin. Dude. Batman should drive a Dodge Gremlin.
I just
neon green.
That's
very obnoxious.
That's just what I see. I think it's obnoxious that he's driving around in this massive vehicle that everybody can see and they know, and yet the cops want him. Well, everybody can find him.
Yeah, there he is. There he is, right there.
So whatever the Batmobile is for them, that's fine.
I just look a little ridiculous. It's kind of bugged me, but hey, it's in Batwoman. What you gonna do?
Exactly. Yeah. What are you going to do? All right, guys. Well,
wait. One last thing.
It
is bat related.
Uh-oh.
I think I sent you the picture today. Did you see it? That glorious thing.
No.
Todd McFarlane has finally
done it. Yes, yeah.
He is making the Flashpoint Batman action figure in all its glory. It'll be available in $19.99 apparently at Target.
It's, I mean, well, I didn't respond to you because
incredible.
It looks like the one I've seen before. But
there hasn't been one before. The only one they've had was another one from the Legends line, which is I have. But this one actually has the two functioning guns. You can put them in the holster. He's big. I'm all about it. I'm very excited.
All right, guys. So you guys know what to get Kane for Asylum Podcast at Gmail.
So just
you know what to get Kane for Christmas, folks, or Hanukkah, one of the two, or Kwanzaa for
him. Yeah, well, get it for both.
All right, guys. So make sure you guys do check us out on here at I've got it on our page right now, streamerlinks.com/Heroes Asylum. There you'll be able to find the links to all of our pages, social media, also the link to the Midnight Movies, which is busy this week.
We're busy this month. Very busy. Next month we're going to be busy too. But check us out at Midnight Movies and Stitcher and I guess Spotify right now. Social media sites, Twitter at @TheHeroAsylum_podcast and Instagram @TheHeroAsylum. And as always, with the mic to me to you, get to the asylum.
How'd it come out?
I'm looking at it now.
Just let me know if the voices are synced up. That's always...
It's good. It's synced.
Okay, that's my biggest concern.
The Hoff heads.